Hi there, Greg Van Beek. This is Nancy O'Dell, and I wanted to say congratulations on 500 episodes of Nostalgia Radio Time. That is awesome. And you're also celebrating 10 years. I mean, that's quite the anniversary. Very impressive, Greg. I love me some oldies but goodies.
Once I had a secret love. Ha, I'm Lori Morgan, and if you love pop standards as much as I do, you'll want to tune in each week to Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek.
Go, Joe, go!
Hi everyone, this is Katie Couric, and I want to welcome you to one of my favorite programs, Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek.
Thank you, Katie Couric, and welcome to show number 586 of Nostalgia Radio Time. This week I've got a special guest on the program. Her name is Gina Zalman. She's a West Coast-based jazz and cabaret singer who's got a brand new album out this week. And we're going to be talking with her about the album, playing some songs from it, and learning more about her life and career. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the program Gina Zalman. Great to have you with us, Gina.
Great to be here, Greg.
This is a very exciting week for you with the release party for your debut album titled Anywhere With You on March 22nd. Has this been a dream come true for you to actually have your very own album out?
It is a dream come true, and I didn't know how much I would enjoy the process of recording. I just had never recorded that much. I'm a live act in that some people are recording artists and other people only perform live. And the reason is because some people can get a state of perfection in the recording studio, but they can't really perform live. They're too nervous, or maybe their voice really isn't prepared to sing live for a long amount of time. They need to be in a studio and rest between songs or something. So I didn't know if I would take to recording the way I did. Now I can't wait to make my next album. I already have the songs picked out.
Now, we'll end up being able to record your debut album at the legendary Capitol Records studio in Hollywood. That's amazing in itself.
It was one of those pinch me moments when you get there and you're given the microphone that Frank Sinatra recorded on in the studio recorded on. And by the way, this is a little bit of trivia. Johnny Mathis was recording in the studio next to us, Studio B. We were in Studio A, so we had the better studio than Johnny Mathis that day.
That's fantastic. Wow, but I'm surprised you could even get your recording done if you wouldn't want to sit and listen to Johnny Mathis sing.
Exactly. It was tempting, but we had a really good organization by my music director and producer, Stephen Applegate. And he got us into the recording mode right away. We laid down four tracks the first day I was there, and they really, really sounded good. I couldn't believe how excited I was to hear my own voice in that quality, because you just never hear your voice if you're doing a live performance. Unless you're being recorded professionally at that performance, you don't really hear what your voice sounds in a professional way until you do what I did, which is take that leap and come up with the funding to produce your own album.
Well, it's certainly a wonderful mix of Great American Songbook standards and some new songs sprinkled in as well, like the lead track, An Hour or So in the Dark, which you co-wrote. Tell us a little bit about that song and how it came about.
Well, I do a live act, like I said, and I use humor because I think it's nice to entertain the crowd in between songs. And some of the songs can get quite emotional, so you want some levity, something lighter to balance it all out. So
sure.
I was writing, and I'm a songwriter, so I write a lot of lyrics that never see the light of day. And I had written this one, and I showed it to my co-writer, Waylon Picard. He says, I think I can do something with this. So it was an attempted humor, but also the core belief that we need entertainment. It's not an option. You don't think I can do without it. You need it in your life to distract you from your troubles. And so that's what I wrote about. It's something that has been going on since people were cavemen. entertaining, singing, playing a drum, something to unite people and to focus away from the daily drudgery or the sadnesses you might be having in your life. And so Wayland put a track to it that's kind of like a Billy Joel or an Elton John feel to it, which mm-hmm. I really liked. It was driving and melodic, and I thought it really supported the lyrics. So when I made my first album, I wanted to have that in the mix, and then I saw that it would be the exact right song to go first on the album because it unites people into seeing this is my passion project, and this is my raison d'etre. This is why I'm on stage and why it's me, because I understand that people need to get away from it all, even if mm-hmm. it's just for an hour.
Well, it's the perfect opening song. It's a wonderful song, and I think you couldn't have picked a better one to start the album with.
Thank you.
So here's Gina Zelman from her brand new album with An Hour or So in the Dark. Reading through your bio, you were born in Long Beach, California, and are currently based in the Palm Springs area, and you began singing at age 6, so that's roughly 20 years now you've been at it, right?
Good for you. I have a knack for languages, and I've always had it. I'm a mimic or something, because I learned a song in Japanese in first grade, and
wow.
I was so good that they had me at the PTA meeting in front of 600 parents singing Sakura, which is cherry blossom tree.
And oh, that's very impressive.
It's something that the Japanese children learn the way we learn This Land Is Your Land or Oh, America the Beautiful. It's a national anthem of sorts in Japan. So
okay.
One of the songs we studied in first grade was Japan, believe it or not, and we learned this song. And because I did it so well, they had me sing it solo in front of 600 people.
Wow.
So I was kind of surprised to learn that you were a stockbroker before you began singing. So how did you go from Wall Street to becoming an entertainer?
Well, when I got out of college, I needed a job. And I was engaged to be married, so I really needed a job. And I looked around. I said, well, I want to sell expensive things to rich people. What's that? Because I've grown up kind of in this rarefied, you know, upwardly mobile household where my dad's businesses took off when I was about 10 years old. And we ended up kind of leapfrogging into a different tax bracket, as it were. So I mm-hmm. thought, well, I've hobnobbed with all these rich people. Now I'm going to be able to have them as clients. And so I went to the job board, and three jobs qualified for what I wanted. And I got two out of those three jobs, and I picked the stockbroker job. And 6 months later, I was being trained on Wall Street by Kidder Peabody. And by June of that year, we took a little company you may be aware of. It's now called Costco, but we took Price Club, the original Costco, public in 1980. So that's dating me, I know, but I'm just saying that I had some exciting times, and my dream came true. I had 400 clients by the time I quit my job and moved on to the next thing in my life. And I was a very successful stockbroker. I really enjoyed it. But I kept a thing called a smile file in my desk for when I was going to be on Johnny Carson. That's when Johnny Carson was the big late night host.
Sure.
I never stopped collecting material for my appearance on Johnny Carson. And so I took another high-profile job after I was a stockbroker working for my family's restaurant equipment consortium and Commerce. And this was a big come down from being a razzle dazzle stockbroker. It was in a warehouse in an industrial part of Los Angeles. And I had a lot of power and a lot of prestige and a big paycheck, but it was not for me. It was so hard. And after 2 years, I said to my dad, I said, I've got to change. I can't stay here. And so he says, what do you want to do? I said, well, I want to go into show business. And he says, well, I'll help you. So luckily I had the backing of my family, and I immediately started studying and trying my hand at stand-up comedy. And also I took a course in how to become a cabaret singer from UCLA Extension. And I met a really great accompanist who became my accompanist. He taught the class. Shelley Markham is very, very well known in cabaret circles. Mm-hmm. And I met Andrea Marcovici, who is the number one cabaret singer probably in the world alive today, through Shelley. And I got an indoctrination into that world where you are able to personalize a show. It isn't just, you know, pop tunes and some smoky lounge that you're aspiring to. You're aspiring to dedicated audiences who love the American songbook, the great American songbook. That's your audience. And that audience still hungers for that music.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
But getting back to your album, you tackled a song that's long been associated with the great Ray Charles, You Don't Know Me. Was it Ray's version that inspired you to record this?
It was. I can tell you, I've heard other people record it, but it doesn't stick with me. Didn't stick with me the way that Ray's did. He's got so much of pain and suffering that being ignored by someone you love engenders. It's just so painful. And I had an experience like that. I used to have a severe weight problem, and I tried desperately to lose the weight. And I remember someone I took a seminar with, I thought he was so great. And I just pined for him, and I was not even on his radar. And I know that being ignored is one of the most painful things you can go through when you're in love with someone.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what the song is about. I can will understand how you can relate to it on a personal level.
Well, so, I saw Ray Charles twice in concert, and he's got so much texture and, I don't know how else to describe it, so much personality and the way he phrases and how he matches what he's saying with the music. Because he's playing for himself. It's so nuanced, and he can't be imitated. I did not do an imitation of, but I did an homage to him by choosing that song, which is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. No one can ever top Ray Charles. It's such a great tribute to him that every New Year's Eve, New Year's Day is one of the first songs that you hear in Times Square right after the ball drops. America the Beautiful, I think they play Ray Charles.
I loved him. And he was great in concert. He was really funny, too. That's something you don't know about him.
Self-deprecating humor, I think he was good at, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
So here's my special guest, Gina Zalman, with You Don't Know Me.
Give your hand to me, and then you say hello, and I can hardly speak. My heart is beating so, and anyone can tell you think you know me well, but you don't know. Of you each night and longs to kiss your lips and longs to hold you tight. To you I'm just a friend, that's all I've ever been. No, you don't know me. Beside the lucky girl to never, never know the one who loves you so. No, you don't know me. Who loves you so? No, you don't know.
So how long was the process of planning for this recording of the album and the actual release of the physical copies of the album?
Well, in the fall of 2021, I started working with my arranger and music director, Stephen Applegate. And this has been after an absence of a couple of years. I think I hadn't worked with him since 2012. So I said, this is going to be this long process of me getting back into the swing of things. So I just took the songs that I loved and I said, let's bring them into the right key. Let's bring them into an arrangement that you and I can, use. And I'll start singing them again in nightclubs and see how I feel. So this is what we did. I took the songs that I had worked on my whole career and I brought them back to life. And, after about six or seven sessions with Stephen, I said, this is an album, Stephen. These are the things that I love. And, of course there was some new material in there and some original material. And he said, I think it's an album too, Gina. So we got together in like February of 2022 and, we booked some time at Capitol, and we made sure that time was available to all the musicians we wanted to use, and we prepared. So we had done the arrangements, and I had worked them out in nightclubs again, so I was convinced that this was these were viable arrangements. And that could be a long process if you're trying to pick out songs and you're at square one. Well, that can take you forever. We had the songs, and that can be the hardest part. And
oh, absolutely.
I think the song selection is what makes the album great. People love the songs on the album.
Definitely. And not only picking the songs, but sequencing them in the right order so that the album flows. I think you did a wonderful job with that as well.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, it is, oddly enough, kind of a chronological order for me, the songs that were appropriate to a certain time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for example, My Romance is the third song. That is my mother's favorite song. And my mother's relationship with my father was a very no-frills romance. They didn't buy each other birthday presents. They didn't go on dates. They rarely even, to my knowledge, spoke to each other. But they had this abiding love and respect didn't have a due date or a present attached to it. It was, or a special occasion attached to it. It was just, My Romance doesn't need a castle rising in Spain nor a dance to a constantly surprising refrain. Wide awake, yeah. I can make my most fantastic dreams come true. My romance doesn't need a thing but you.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
My romance doesn't have to have a moon in the sky. My romance doesn't need a blue lagoon standing by. No month of May, no twinkling stars, no hideaway, no star. Most fantastic dreams come true. My romance doesn't need a thing but you. No month of May, no twinkling stars, no hideaway, no soft guitars. My romance doesn't need a castle.
From her brand new album, Anywhere With You, that's my special guest Gina Zalman with My Romance. Well, you're also quite an accomplished performing artist. You did a sellout one-woman show at the Gardenia in Hollywood. You've also performed at the Hollywood Roosevelt Cine Grill, the Magic Castle, the Comedy Store, the Improv, the Rose Tattoo, and many others. Do you have any plans to play New York or do a concert tour across the country?
I do. I'm trying to do what's first. And I need to get the album up on CD Baby and Spotify and Amazon and Tidal and all these platforms. And it's just taking me to this point in time to be ready to do that. And it'll coincide with the album release on the 22nd of March. But
yes,
putting together a tour is going to depend on the kind of press I get. At the March 22nd show, there's going to be reviewers there. And also right now, the CD is being reviewed professionally by magazines, which should come out ahead of the March 22nd show. So the first thing I need to do is get great reviews. So what I'm doing right now is I'm rehearsing and working with my director, and I'm making sure that the stage production, which will be filmed by three cameras, comes off beautifully. Then I can take the edited songs and post them like videos on YouTube. Then when I go to a club on the phone, obviously, and talk to a booker in New York, I can say, here's a recent video of the song you just asked me about, performed at the Catalina Jazz Club like last month. I can say that, and they can say, great, we're going to have you in May. Also, I should get a manager and a agent out of this whole thing, and they're going to be able to book me. That's really what I'm aiming for, but right now I don't have that. I've had a manager. I've had an agent in the past. I'm Screen Actors Guild. I've got the reputation that would be necessary to get an agent. But sure. My efforts right now would be to invite them. And I have a PR agent that's helping me do that. Because people say, great, you look really good on paper. When are you performing? And so I can say, I have this show. So it's sort of laying the foundation, Greg, to build what's going to happen in the next year.
And I think that's a wonderful approach that you're using. I think YouTube is an excellent tool for any artist to get noticed out there. Look at how many young kids have gotten discovered just from YouTube videos. That's a great place to start, I think.
Well, and then when they say, I like your video, you say, well, here's my CD. Having the CD is another kind of fancy business card. You know, here,
exactly.
This is done.
And you can also put a link to it in your bio under the videos too, which you can
put a link to.
Yeah, that's all great stuff. And I've seen you've also got a review or a notice, I guess, of your upcoming release party on, I think, on Broadway.com, is it? Did they write an article about you?
Yeah, they did. Thank you for noticing.
Yeah, that's a right there, and a prestigious East Coast New York-based website that certainly will help get your some bookings. It's nice to see you maybe at Rainbow and Stars or something someday.
You know, I do see myself performing at those places. The thing is, I was in New York mid-October to mid-November of last year, 2022, and I do a lot of live entertainment. And I noticed in the cabaret shows that I went to, the level of perfection, you just won't find anything more sublime than New York cabaret.
I believe that.
Oh, it was, I saw Jeff Garner, who's got to be the king of cabaret. I saw Liz Calloway, who's a Broadway star, do her song show, which has gotten rave reviews, and she sold enormous amounts of CDs from that, and I got to talk to her afterwards. I saw Celia Burke, whose CD is, I think she's Grammy nominated this year in her category. And I'm just saying that in my dreams I would be as good as them, but you don't know till you try it. I think I've got enough confidence to be humble enough to try it.
Sure. Absolutely. And what you have got all the background and the performing experience already, and the more that you perform the songs and hone an act, so to speak, you'll be just as polished and dynamite as those people are.
Well, from your mouth to God's ears, Greg, thank you.
Well, I know there's going to be good things coming ahead for you, but just having heard the album and listened to it many times now, it's fantastic, and it's bound to draw notice, and your career is only going to be on the rise after people take note of this great album. And just looking down some of the other songs, you recorded some great standards like Hoagie Carmichael's I Get Along Without You Very Well and Rodgers and Hart's Mountain Greener. Those are two of my favorites as well.
Oh, I'm so glad. You have excellent taste, Greg.
I would say you do too.
No, that I Get Along Without You Very Well. I've got to tell you, I saw Lena Horne do her show in New York in 1973 at the Waldorf. And
she said,
people ask me, why do I sing a certain song? And she says, I'll never tell. But I'm going to tell you that I sing I Get Along Without You Very Well about my father. Because he really believed in me, and having somebody like that in your corner is almost irreplaceable when they go. And it was a big, big tragedy in my life when he died unexpectedly. And that song has a bridge, says, what a guy, what a fool am I to think my breaking heart could kid the moon. What's in store? Should I phone once more? No, it's best that I stick to my tune. I used to talk to my dad every day, and I can tell you that that phone not ringing and me not talking to him was such a tragedy. And knowing that somebody else felt that way when they wrote that song, it gave me comfort.
And that's the beautiful thing about music. It can be a comfort if people take the time to listen to the lyrics. And then you hear the story that's being told, it can be a great comfort to a person. How you can relate it to certain aspects of your own life, like what you just said, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I think that music has that ability to allow you to feel. And oftentimes we're all day long, we stuff our feelings down, and then we get to go to a show and we get to have those feelings kind of massaged out of us, you know, kind of in a sly way where you don't see it coming, but there it is, and you feel a sense of relief.
I get along without you soft rains fall and drip from leaves, then I recall the thrill of being sheltered in your arms. Of course I do. But I get along without you very well. I've forgotten you just like I should. Of course I have. Except to hear your name or someone's laugh that is the same. But I've forgotten you just like I should. What a guy. What a fool am I to think my breaking heart could kid the of May. It is moving day. Spring is here, so blow your job, throw your job away. Now's the time to trust to your wanderlust. In the city's dust you wait. Must you wait? Just you wait. The scenery, just two crazy people together. While you love your lover, let blue skies be your cover. Let when it rains, we laugh at the weather. And if you're good, I'll search for wood so you can cook while I stand looking. Beans could get no keener reception in a beanery. Cooking means more than French cuisines. I've a banquet planned, which is sandwiches and beans. Coffee's just as grand with a little sand. Eat and you'll grow fatter, boy. Smatter, boy. Atta boy. Where God paints the scenery, just two crazy people together. How we love sequestering, where no pests are pestering, no dear mama holds us in tether.
Twin Spin from her brand new album titled Anywhere With You. That was my special guest Gina Zalman with I Get Along Without You Very Well and Mountain Greenery. I think now would be a good time to tell our listeners where is the best place to pick up a copy of your new album and tell us a bit about your website as well.
All you do is go to www.ginazalman.com. That's G-I-N-A and that's Z-O-L-L-M-A-N.com. And it says buy CD, and you press the button, and it's $25, but that includes shipping. So it's about $5 to ship it. So
sure. If
you were to come to one of my shows, it would only be $20, but because we have to have shipping in there, it's $25.
Right, and where it's your own website, I would imagine that if anybody would desire, you probably could be able to autograph it to them as well.
I could. I really don't mind doing anything like that. That's sweet of you to know to remember to say that. I could definitely autograph it for them.
Yeah, you're kind enough. You signed my copy, and it's always a nice personal memento that way of a connection that we had at one point in time, and can look back at it in the coming years, and when you're very successful, and say, I knew her when. She was just starting out.
Thank
with her
you.
First album.
Thank you for saying my first album.
Yes. That was my other question, is that I imagine you're going to be hopefully following that up with a second album and third and fourth and however many you can do.
Well, I want to do an album of my originals, which will probably be my third album, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I wanted to share with you the clever title. It's called Originals, because Gina is right in the middle of the word original.
Yes. That's very clever.
Well, I think we have time for one more song, and I can't think of a better one to close with than the last song on the album, which happens to be its title, Anywhere With You. Give us a little background on this song.
Well, I was in London showcasing at a nightclub, and I went to another performer's show. I think it was at Pizza on the Park, which happens to be a cabaret venue in London. And Deborah Boyle and Nathan Martin were doing a show, and Nathan Martin did some duets with Deborah, and he also did a full set of his own material. And I bought both of their CDs, and I really listened to them a lot. And one of the songs on Nathan Martin's CD was Anywhere With You. And I don't think I'm telling tales out of school to say he's gay. And this song was clearly about a gay relationship. And some of the telltale clues were that we never cared who saw us holding hands, or on a bridge we shared a kiss that I wish could last forever. They stole a kiss. And so the forbidden nature of that is kind of hidden. You wouldn't know if I didn't tell you. But I think the fact that we live today in a much more liberated world, that the song, I bring it up to as an homage to people who had to live in secrecy for so many years, and worried about being arrested for simply being in love. And we're so beyond that. I hope we are.
Oh, I think we definitely are. And it's a good thing that how we've evolved in so many ways in that respect. And what we had talked about earlier, with certain aspects, though, we went backwards in that, you know, we're unable to laugh at ourselves anymore, and there's so much people being offended by everything perceived or unreal or real that it's
imagined or unimagined.
Exactly, you know. So we've made strides both ways, I guess you could say, ahead and backwards.
Thank you. I agree. I try to look on the positive side of things. When I can tell you the reason why I picked the song, I was inspired by the story of it because I knew a little bit about it. But I feel that way about my current relationship with my boyfriend, Steven, that simply having breakfast with him or going on a walk or a hike or holding hands in a restaurant, that's bliss to me because it's with him and it doesn't have to be fancy for me to be happy. And so it kind of brings me back to what my mother demonstrated to me in her kind of Puritan work ethic. She was always busy. She puts Martha Stewart to shame, my mother, all the crap things she did.
Uh-huh.
She was an amazing woman, grew up on a farm, and she knew how to do everything.
Once again, here's Gina Zalman with Anywhere With You.
Walked along the Seine, my last night in Paris. We strolled the Ile Saint-Louis and never cared who saw us holding hands. On a bridge we shared a kiss that I wish could last forever, 'cause suddenly then I knew the feeling when a dream comes true. But anywhere with you could feel like Paris in October. Anywhere at all, I know I'd fall the same again. Anywhere on earth could have the charm of Saint-Germain, but it's just as well. Who needs the Tour Eiffel? 'Cause it's Paris when I'm anywhere with you. December in New York, the Christmas lights burn brightly, and somehow each village street and small cafe was waiting just for us. The skating rink was closed, and yes, it always seemed to rain, but I didn't notice much, long as I could feel your touch. But anywhere with you could be the rainbow room at midnight. Anywhere I kissed you, I'd be 90 stories high. I don't need Fifth Avenue or the famous Christmas tree when just to see your face I'd hear caroling any place. It's New York at Christmas, anywhere with you. Whether it's in Timbuktu, on the Spanish steps of Rome, or any place you name, I'll always feel just the same, as long as I can be there, anywhere with you. Cause it's Paris when I'm anywhere with you. Till the next time when I'm anywhere with you.
So I'm really glad I got a chance to talk to you, Greg, about my album. And thank you for listening, and thank you for having me on the show.
Well, thank you so much, Gina, for spending this time with me. I want to wish you the best of luck with it, and hopefully, like I say, it'll be the first of many albums. And I send along an open invitation to appear on Nostalgia Radio Time when your sophomore album is released.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks again, Gina, and take care.
Thanks, Greg.
It's Bing Crosby time. Time for our Bing Sings feature, and this week we've got Bing joined by Fred Astaire from their 1975 album, A Couple of Song and Dance Men. Here they are with a song made popular by the Carpenters, Sing a Song.
Sing a song, sing out loud, sing out strong, sing of good things, not bad, sing of happy, not sad. Sing a song, make it simple to last your whole life long. Don't worry that it's not good enough for anyone else to hear. Just sing, sing a song. Sing out loud.
Try to improvise.
Sing out strong.
Until we realize it's best to sing.
Sing of good things, not bad.
Never fear, God's all you gotta do is sing.
Sing of happy, not
bad. Everybody ought to learn to just relax and
sing.
Sing a little tune.
Sing a song. Make it simple to last your whole life long.
You can do no harm and let me tell you.
Don't worry that it's not good enough for anyone else to hear.
Cause all you gotta do
just
is sing, sing a melody.
Sing a song.
No more misery.
Sing along.
Chase your blues away.
Sing a song.
A merry rondelay.
A little song.
A happy composition.
You can't go wrong.
A jolly exposition.
Sing out strong.
On your own volition.
Sing a song.
Go, Joe, go!
And the old clock up on the studio wall tells me it's time to close up shop for another week's edition of Nostalgia Radio Time. I'm Greg Van Beek. Thank you for listening and hope you'll join me again next week for more music and memories of the greatest generation. Feel free to email me with your comments about the program or any songs you'd like to hear, old-time radio shows you like played. Send them all to NostalgiaRadioTime@yahoo.com. And while you're online, be sure to check us out on our social media outlets on Facebook and Twitter. And if you happen to have an interest in antique radios, looking to acquire a fully restored and functional set, now many with Bluetooth capability, check out my website at www.radioattic.com/Van Beek. That's all one word, V-A-N-B, two E's and a K. And I've got some great fully restored sets available for you. So until we meet again next week, I'm Greg Van Beek saying so long for now.